Welcome to the Covenant Community Church podcast. We hope that this teaching will bless you. Share with us how God is moving in your life and how this message impacts you by emailing us at media@covenantcc.net. Are you ready? It's time for the Word.
All right, I'm going to read a particular version, Psalm 68 and 6. Now, the new Home Standard Version, which is a good version, that's the one I usually read out of, actually talks about, it says, God provides homes for those who are deserted. In other words, God provides a place of community, a place of love, a place of kindness, a place of generosity for those that don't have a home. But I like what another version says. It says, God sets the lonely in families. Now, how many of you have got a somewhat dysfunctional family somewhere? Can I see your hands? We all do. We have, all of us have. Any in here? You got a cousin Eddie? Yeah, me. You know, I've got a cousin Eddie. I've had several of them over the year. And so I want to explore three things about the message of Christmas. And through the National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. Now, you say, how can you get anything spiritual out of that? Well, if you look close enough, culture many times can mirror just the opposite of what we are and who we're supposed to be. The Bible says something really interesting. It says God sets a lonely person in a family. You see, we all have these dysfunctional family members, and the Griswolds, when I watch that, actually gives me hope, because I don't know about you, but when I watch that, I realize my family, my extended family, wasn't as bad as what I thought. Amen? But it has a message of Christmas in it, which seems kind of ironic, and the message, no, is not be careful because there's a squirrel in your Christmas tree. The message is not, please don't put spam on your sled. The message is not, watch the metal plate in your head because the microwave may go off. The message is not, Cousin Eddie is emptying his camper in your front yard again. The message is not, be careful how you unfold your Christmas tree in your living room. And the message is not, be careful, you may have a cat in your Christmas present. And it's definitely not the famous phrase that Chevy Chase uses in this movie, I don't know what to say except it's Christmas and we're all in misery. No, there's actually a much more powerful message in this movie today. It actually reminds me of the birth of Jesus Christ in the most significant way, because people need God and our dysfunctional families need to hear what Christmas is really about. You know, the birth of Jesus is so significant that we measure time, and Christmas was actually God's idea. All of time is separated because of what happened on Christmas. You see, I want to remind you today that Christmas is about one thing. It is about the salvation of lost people. How many of you got lost people in your family? Let me see your hands. Well, I want to talk to you today because there's actually three purposes of Christmas. You see it in the National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. You see, number one, celebration. Number two, you see how salvation is present. And what salvation actually means in the Greek and the Hebrew is the protection from evil. And you see so many times where Clark Griswold risked his life and almost died during the Christmas season. And then reconciliation. You see how there was a possibility that family members that have offended you, and mothers that aren't talking to you, and daughters and sisters that are angry at you. It's actually about how Cousin Eddie can come home and how Aunt Grace can get mature in her faith. That sounds silly, but it's true. Somebody say amen. So number one, go to Luke chapter 2 verse 8. I want to show you how Christmas is a time of celebration. It's a celebration because Christmas is about salvation. Christmas is about inviting people to come to know Christ as their Savior. Luke 2 and 8, it says, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy. How many of you realize that the gospel is good news? It is not bad news, it is good news. Now, I know a lot of preachers preach about it like it's bad news. A lot of Christians act as if it's horrible news, but the gospel is good news. And we celebrate the fact that Jesus was sent to a dying world, and even someone like Cousin Eddie can come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, go to Luke chapter 15, verse 7. Luke chapter 15, verse 7 says that when someone who was lost becomes a Christian, there's more rejoicing and celebration in heaven than there would have been over 99 righteous people. In other words, God himself says in Luke, and Luke, the writer of the Christmas story, actually says that when someone comes to know Christ as their Savior, that there's more rejoicing and celebration in heaven in that moment than in any other time in heaven. Ladies and gentlemen, Covenant Community Church started almost 20 years ago, and we started as a church that was going to win souls. We started as a church that would go to the people who needed God the most, and we're going to stay there. Somebody say amen. You see, I want to ask you a question. Do you have any unsaved family members? If you do, lift your hands. So do I. And Psalm 68 and 6 says, God sets the lonely in a family. You know as well as I know that you don't have to be blood kin to be part of a family. But here's the statistics this morning. 50% of everyone who ever accepted Christ as their Savior is led by their parents. 24% are led by family members. That means 74% of anyone who ever comes to Christ is actually led to Christ by a family member. And if you and I don't learn to speak up to Cousin Eddie, if we don't learn how to mature Aunt Grace, who doesn't know how to pray if her life depended on it, if we don't learn how to go back to an old-fashioned Christmas and realize that Christmas is really about the story of salvation, it's not about the buying of gifts, it's not about you got me something and I didn't get you something, it's not about the stress of whether the turkey was right, Christmas is really about telling the story that Jesus Christ has been sent to earth for people who need him the most. Somebody say amen. If you don't mind, give God a hand clap of praise. I want you to make sure you understand this. Here's what's interesting. 90% of anyone who ever accepts Christ as their Savior, they do so by the age of 18. And that has statistically, that's actually down. I'm actually working on that in my second doctorate, my PhD from a secular university, about soteriology and how children retain faith. Do you realize that the average person, 85 to 90% of everyone who ever accepts Jesus as their Savior, does so before the age of 15? And that's the statistics that most people say, the age of 18 goes back to the first great awakening and the development of psychology and the father of psychology. That from the beginning of the study of the sociology of religion, we have known that people get saved at a younger age, and as the world gets older, they get saved at a much younger age. And if we don't reach people when they're young, and what a great time to reach people when they're young, during Christmas, to tell the gospel story. Do you realize that 47% of everyone who's not saved in your family said that if you would even open your mouth and talk about Christ, they'd be receptive to it? Do you understand that 95% of all Christians, now get this in your mind, 95% of all Christians have never led anyone to Christ, deacons and elders included. Never led anyone to Christ. Evangelism has seen better days. 80% of all Christians never share their faith with their families. And listen, Christmas is the new Easter. Christmas is the best time you could share the story of salvation because Christmas is about the birth of Jesus. Somebody say amen. 71% of all Christians have never given to a project related to the Great Commission. And in 1993, 89% of all Christians had this belief. They believed in 1993 that we have a responsibility to open our mouth, speak up, and share the gospel of Jesus Christ to our families and to those that are dysfunctional, even if they're Cousin Eddie or Clark Griswold. Somebody say, oh me or amen. And that's not always easy. I realize that. I've got family members that, I got one family member that was born again because he was homeless on the streets of Los Angeles. And an organization that we've given tens of thousands of dollars to took him in as an alcoholic, raised in an alcoholic home. And they took him in, they fed him, they clothed him, gave him a place to live. When he got out, he left the Lord, and now he considers himself to be an atheist. I pray for him. I pray God will continue to work on him. There's people in my life that I love and that I am making friends with that I consider to be like family to me that are far away from Jesus Christ. But ladies and gentlemen, let me make something perfectly clear to you. It is not normal in the church in in 2019 for the body of Christ to be a soul winner. Soul winning has went has been held captive by the terminology of tolerance, and we're said that you don't want to you don't want to upset anyone in your family. You don't want to impose your beliefs on someone else. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible doesn't say those things. The Bible says to open up our mouth, and that when one lost sheep comes home to Jesus, there's more celebration in heaven than the greatest of Christmases. Somebody say amen and give God a hand clap of praise in here. Now, how many of you have ever shared your faith? Can I see your hands? I don't want to embarrass you, but do you realize how big of an oddball you are? Because in 1993, 85% of all Christians in America did so. But when you look at 2019 and new research that just came out, that number from 89% dropped to 69%. Why? Because too many millennials believe that it's offensive if you share your faith with someone. It's not offensive if you share your faith with someone. Everybody go to Romans chapter 10, verse 14, and let's talk about catching Cousin Eddie. Anybody got to catch a Cousin Eddie? Anybody have anyone in your family that needs to know Christ this Savior? Well, we start with what we've been talking about for the last 3 weeks. Become gentle. Hashid, become kind. Make sure that you invite someone into your family. You become a neighbor in the church and in the universal church and to the city. That you bring peace, wholeness to the city. And that you bring hashid to the stranger, which is gentleness and kindness. You know, it's funny because I've been really trying this. I've been really making sure that I'm not going to get up here and preach about sharing my faith if I'm not sharing my faith to you. I'll make sure I don't. And I don't count you. I don't count the people that I win. I've won three or four people we have just to the Lord in the last 2 weeks. Give God a hand clap of praise, amen. But I'm talking about sharing your faith out there. I was amazed. I was eating at a restaurant in Evansville, and all of a sudden this girl came up who obviously didn't know Christ. She was my waitress. And I began to talk to her, and she noticed I was reading the autobiography of Mr. Rogers, which I have now. He's now my new hero. I just want you to know that. I'm not going to wear a cardigan. Number one, you can't find a cardigan. Have you ever tried to find a cardigan? I can't find a cardigan. I even went to Goodwill and still couldn't find one. But he's my new favorite person because he was so purposeful about what he was doing. It wasn't about TV. It wasn't about just children. He considered himself an evangelist and was a minister as an evangelist to children. And he did it on purpose. He never even said the word God that I know of during his program, but he affected so many people with the love of Jesus through kindness. And so you know what I thought? I'm going to really begin to work on being kind in an unkind world. How many of you believe it's an unkind world? How many of you believe that people or your families, many of your family members are like mine, they don't know Christ? Can I see your hands? Well, see, it's like that. So I thought, I'm going to try this. And so I started being kind. She said, I see you're reading. She goes, who's Mr. Rogers? She was young. And I grinned and I said, well, he was, and she goes, oh, I know him. The neighborhood, Mr. Make-Believe. And I said, yeah. And I just began to say, I said, you know, I think we need a lot more kind people in this world. That's what I love about Mr. Rogers. And she stopped dead in her tracks. He says, you know, that's so true. That's very true. I was talking to another man this week out in the public, and we were talking, and he was a little rough and gruff. And I just started, you know what? I'm going to make sure that I'm intentional in showing this man kindness. And this big old burly, mean-looking fella, I just showed him kindness. And I realized that people thought Mr. Rogers was weak because he was kind. Really, it takes strength to be kind. Can I get an amen? And so I started showing this old burly guy, this big old guy, kindness. And I watched him melt like a wax candle in summer. And I realized that we can start this gospel message this Christmas with being kind to people. And yesterday, how many of you ever had your patience stretched on Good Friday? Amen? Anybody ever had their patience stretched in traffic, even in Madisonville? I get tickled, go to LA where there's seven lanes on one side and seven lanes on the other, and drive on that at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. You'll learn what stress is. But anybody else besides me get stressed out when you're driving 41 to Providence and a tractor gets in front of you? Yeah, that's the way I am. It stresses me out. But I was at Walmart helping Santa Claus the other day, and this woman screwed my whole thing up. It would have cost me hours. It cost me hundreds of dollars. Just made a big mess out of it. And my flesh wants to say, lady, I used to work in layaway at Kmart back in the day, and you didn't even look at the check. You just assumed it said something else, and now all this problem's been here. But you know what? I knew that I had a moment to show kindness to somebody, to be gentle with someone who was having a very bad day. And I was amazed at how it flowered them, how it brought mean, careless, uncaring people to a place of humility. You'd be amazed at what kindness and gentleness would do. Somebody say amen. Now, Romans 10 and 14 says, how can people have faith in the Lord and ask them to save them if they've never heard about him? In other words, how many of you know somebody that doesn't know Christ as their Savior in your family? Let me see your hands. Well, how are they going to know if you don't say something? And then the Bible says through Apostle Paul, how can they hear unless someone tells them? In other words, if you don't just, if they don't hear you talk about your faith and they don't talk to you and you don't talk to them about their faith, how are they ever going to hear? How many of you believe there's a heaven? Can I see your hands? How many of you believe there's a hell? Let me see your hands. And if that's true, then it's time for us to use Christmas like we've never used it before and share the faith of Jesus. Somebody say amen. Now, Christmas is unique because it's a holiday that we celebrate as Christians, but the culture still celebrates the holiday right along with us. Now, it's under attack, but what a great opportunity to use Christmas to go into dysfunctional families and let them know that Jesus Christ has set you free from guilt and shame, and he's the best thing that ever happened to me, that he died and on the third day he rose again and he's living in me, and I'd love to tell you about him if you're willing to listen. And you don't have to give a dissertation. All you have to do is be kind and show Christ in your nature to your families this Christmas. And then open it up and watch for opportunities for God to help you craft the Christmas message about Christ to your families. You see, having early conversations about Christmas can result in a good impact. Now, Covenant Community Church, we started as a soul-winning church. We're going to finish as a soul-winning church. Somebody say amen. But go to Psalms 11 and 30. Psalms 11 and 30 says something very, very exciting to me. It said, he that winneth souls is wise, that we're wise. Well, Isaiah 52 and 7 says, how beautiful are the feet of those that bring good news of the gospel. How many of you didn't know you had beautiful feet? Let me see your hands. Well, the Bible says you do. Well, number two, Christmas is not just about celebration. It's about salvation. And go to Luke chapter 2, verse 11. In Luke chapter 2, verse 11, it says, today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And what happens is salvation actually means the preservation from danger. If you love your families, if you love your children, if you love your aunts and uncles, if you love your cousins, if you love and you care about the souls of your family, even if their Aunt Gladys couldn't pray if her life depended on it, even if it's Cousin Eddie and he milks you for every dollar you got, even if you had a dysfunctional family, God wants to use you this Christmas to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Am I by myself today? Somebody say amen. And so we think about Christmas for a lot of different reasons, but that's one thing he wants us to remind us of. Christmas is about celebration. Christmas is about salvation. You know, I thought about how many times Clark Griswold almost killed himself in that movie. And people, you know, he slid off the roof. A squirrel landed on his face. Almost electrocuted himself. He went on the sled ride through Walmart's parking lot. Cousin Eddie's a little antic in his front yard almost cost him his life. He got trapped in the attic. But go to Luke chapter 1, verse 67, to the original Christmas message about Zacharias. And I want you to notice something in verse 72. Well, starting in verse 67, it talks about how a prophecy took place during Christmas. And verse 72 says the word mercy showed up. Folks, that sister you're fighting with, that aunt your side of the family isn't talking with, ask God to help you to show mercy and pity, because the word mercy is active pity. It was a secret to Mr. Rogers. But look at the word mercy closer, elos in the Greek. It means special and immediate regards to misery and the consequences of sin. I think people in the church have forgotten what it's like to live in sin and be away from God. And we think because we're saved, other people who aren't saved aren't on our mind as much as they should be. And so I want to encourage you this Christmas to open your mouth and to let your family know about your faith and who you are in Christ Jesus. It sounds sappy. If it sounds sappy to you, you're unspiritual. You're definitely immature. And you've been drinking the Kool-Aid of this world. But notice what it says. It says it was good news. Luke 1:68 says that God visited and God redeemed. And it says this word, the horn of salvation. You know why they call it the horn of salvation? Because horn is the toughest part of an animal. It's the most rugged part of an animal. And if you're going to give the gospel to people, you've got to learn about the horn of salvation. Like I'm teaching my 11-year-old right now. I was late coming to service today because Aiden has been trying to ask a little boy and invite him to come to church, and he got a burden out of nowhere as an 11-year-old. This young man's dad died and his mother was in prison. Terrible story. And last week he was so excited about going to get him for church, and he got there and he had overslept. Well, today he was excited because he was going to bring him and his cousin, and they were going to come to church this morning. And before I left to come out here, I get a phone call, and the mother that's never involved decides to show up today and wants to play Thanksgiving. And I had to go to Aiden's class. I had to pull him out of class and say, I know at 10:15 today, you were supposed to get in a car with DJ, and you were supposed to go pick up someone for church. And I said, but he's not coming, and he just broke and wept. Broke my heart. But I've also had to realize it's a great opportunity to talk to my son and to talk to you about when you do the right thing, there's a cost to it sometimes. Doing the right thing doesn't mean it's the easy thing or the convenient thing. But it gave me an opportunity a while ago to talk to Aiden about spiritual warfare. How many of you believe the devil doesn't want your family getting saved? So one, he doesn't want you to have a conversation. He doesn't want you to have an old-fashioned Christmas. He doesn't want you to open your mouth. That's his first deal. But if you're to open your mouth, he's liable to make it difficult for you, just like he did my son at 11, who's learning about salvation and soul winning. And so I had an opportunity. I said, you know, Aiden, I said, this is a good opportunity for you to realize, do you understand that the devil is fighting you trying to do a good thing? He shook those little brown eyes at me. He said, yeah. I said, how does this make you feel? He said, it makes me feel very sad, Dad. I said, how else does it make you feel? He said, it makes me angry. I said, bingo. I said, if the devil wants a fight, we'll give him a fight. You go back to school this week and tell that kid that if he comes to church next Sunday, I'll take us to Scazzo. Somebody say amen. Give God a hand clap of praise. We're not playing fair when it comes to winning souls. Amen? And so what you have to realize, it's about salvation. And the horn of salvation means the prosperity of a person. How many believe when people get saved, they make better citizens, they make better people, they make better mothers, better fathers, that it changes their life? Can I see hands? Amen. So how do you share your faith when you're dealing with Aunt Gladys? It might seem impossible to share your faith when you're dealing with Aunt Gladys, because when I share my faith with one of my cousins I was just talking to you about, it gets very, very difficult because he is such the opposite of who I am and what I believe that he's actually very antagonistic against me, antagonistic against the people I support, and actually is on the internet very blatant and obvious about his beliefs. But how do you bring that level of understanding about God to another level? Number one, it starts with a conversation. Look at Acts 4:41. It says they were speaking to the people, and then many of those who heard them then believed, Acts 4:4. So it starts with a conversation. Number two, it starts with a spiritual curve. And let me show you something. I want you to watch. I want to make this very simple. If you want, how many of you want to be used by God this Christmas? Can I see your hands? Now watch this. Let me show you how. Starts with a chat. And in that chat, you talk about real life. How things are going. open up a conversation about, hey, we've got Scrooge at our church. You ever seen that? I'd love for you to come with me. And then you go from chat to relate. Yeah, I've got two boys too, or one boy and two girls. Isn't it amazing how those little girls can milk you for everything you got? Just with the blinking of an eye. And you begin to relate in some way. Yeah, I go deer hunting. And then you begin to relate when you find a moment of pain with your loved one. And then you go from pain and you deepen the connection by sharing. Yeah, you know, my mom and dad lost a brother in 1993 in a car wreck at age 16. It's a very painful situation. Or maybe they look at you and they say, I have a heart disease. You say, you know, that must be very painful and discouraging to you. You begin to share your faith. And then all of a sudden, when you begin to share, you'll be amazed at how it connects and how you've made a connection. Salt can't become salt until it touches the meat. There is no preservation without that. And then you begin to connect. And you talk about Jesus in your daily life. And this is the door that where it's going to take the Holy Spirit to give you courage to open up and to talk about your faith. And then from connection, you go to exploring. And you begin to explore. What does that mean? You talk about questions of faith. It's okay to say, I don't know. It's okay to say, I'm not always sure why a good God allows evil and suffering in the world. But my pastor recorded 30 different videos at Perry Stone's Bible College, one of which is why there's evil and suffering in the world. Then you go from exploring to clarifying. And when you clarify your faith in that conversation, and you talk about two things. One, no one ever talks about. Everyone talks about the rewards, but make sure that when you share your faith in this world, that you do not say, if you accept Jesus, all your problems will go away. When you share your faith this Christmas, don't you say, if you accept Jesus, you'll never have another pain and agony, a moment of agony in your whole life. How many of you know that's not true? I think we've done the church a disservice. We need to talk about the cost of following Jesus. There's a cost to it, Aiden, at 11. It costs to be good. It costs something. It doesn't always go the way we want it to go. But there is a reward, because God says he rewards those that diligently seek him. Somebody say amen. And so I want to encourage you this Christmas to have the spiritual conversation. And I want to encourage you to engage in four habits. Here they are. Number one, and Jeremy, come on up. To expect a spiritual conversation, for God to open up your mouth to speak the faith this Christmas. Number two, to pursue and initiate a conversation with Aunt Grace or Cousin Eddie. And then number three, to be responsive when they open up a door and God opens up a door for you to share your faith. If it's at the gas station, if it's at Walmart, if it's in layaway, no matter where it's at, open your mouth and let God use you this Christmas. And then push through the awkward moment where it gets a little awkward and they say, oh, we just brought up the Jesus word. Learn how to navigate through those conversations. And then number three, Christmas is not just about celebration and salvation. Ladies and gentlemen, at the end of the day, Christmas is about reconciliation. To where even if your family is highly dysfunctional and it just seems like they're crazy. Anybody just ever feel like your family's crazy? Say amen. If you feel like they're crazy, you have to realize that God, according to Luke 2:14, says, glory to God in the highest, on earth and goodwill towards men. God has given you and I the spirit and the job of reconciliation. He reconciled himself to you and me, and now we have a job of reconciling other people to him. And how dare us keep our mouth shut when he opened up his arms for us? How dare we keep our mouth shut in the church in America when he did not keep his mouth shut, but he said, son, go, and for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten son, that whosoever shall believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And he gave us good news, and how can we not give good news to everybody else? Somebody say amen. Got to open it up. Be courageous. And folks, reconciliation is when a broken relationship is restored. And what you need to understand this Christmas is there's never going to be peace in this world until there's peace in the nation. And there's never going to be peace in the nations until there's peace in the community. And there's never going to be peace in the community until there's peace in the family. And there's never going to be peace in the family until there's peace in the individual. And there's never going to be peace in the individual until the Prince of Peace comes and rules their hearts. Isaiah 9 and 6 says, "For us, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and he'll be called the Prince of Peace." Ladies and gentlemen, when Ezekiel 38 is happening right before your very eyes, when Iran is in bed with Russia and the Sudan and the Muslim countries of the Horn of Africa, and China is funding their missiles, and they're coming against Israel, exactly like Ezekiel said, keep your lamps trimmed and burning, open your mouth, stand up and share the good news of Jesus Christ, because it's not going to be soon until the church goes up. Somebody say amen. We invite people to become our neighbor. We invite them to shalom in the city. We've got to become kind to the stranger. But this requires a conversation. And I know sometimes your conversations look a whole lot like Cousin Eddie shopping for Christmas. Let me give you one last reminder. Here it is.
Business, Eddie?
Well, I can't complain. How you doing?
Not that good, actually.
Your company kill off all them people over in India not long ago?
No. You missed out on that one. You're pretty set so far as shopping goes.
Well, I can't lie to you, Clark. The truth is, things ain't going too good at all. You know, I told you I borrowed the RV from my neighbor. It's mine. We live in it. Had to sell off the house, the barn, the 10 acres. All I kept was a 50-foot plot, the pigs, and the worm farm. If only I had back the money that me and Catherine sent that TV preacher.
What about the kids?
Well, his kids can fend for themselves. I
mean, oh, your kids.
Oh, well, that's the bitch of it. See, I don't know what to do. We coasted into town on fumes, gas money, give out in gurney.
Eddie, Ellen and I want to help you give the kids a nice Christmas.
Clark, I couldn't do that.
No, we insist.
Oh, no, I'm not one for charity now.
Oh, I know that, Eddie. This isn't charity, it's family. Now, come on. If you don't tell me what they want, I'll go out and get it on my own.
Oh, boy. This is a surprise, Clark. This is just a real nice surprise. Just a real nice surprise. Here's a little list, alphabetical, starting with Catherine. And if it wouldn't be too much, I'd like to get something for you, Clark. Something really nice.
It's not easy opening your mouth and having a conversation with Cousin Eddie. But it doesn't have to go that way for you this Christmas. You can, number one, form a resilient identity and grow an intimacy in Christ where people see who you are without even opening your mouth. In a complex and anxious age, you can develop discernment and bring peace to where you see disruption. In a world full of isolation and where family will turn against family, brothers against brothers, parents against children, children against parents, according to 2 Timothy 3 and 1, in the last days, you can forge real relationships that care deeply about people and are there for the long term, in the church, in the city, and to the stranger. You can ground an ambitious generation by pointing them to the fact that God wants to use you, and you don't have to be a preacher to be used by God, that He wants to use you in what you do for a living in the marketplace. And you can curb this self-entitled generation where it's all about me, 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 and narcissism and what I want. And you can represent and engage the church to fulfill the Great Commission like never before and open your mouth and be used by God greatly. Christmas has a message, just like this crazy, silly movie had a message about Christmas, salvation, and reconciliation. Christmas has a message too, and that is God wants to use you this year. Now, would you please stand? If you don't know Christ as your Savior this morning, and maybe you've come in here with a family member, every head bow, every eye closed, and no one looking around, I will not come and get you. We don't play those kind of games here. But if you don't know Christ as your Savior, and you know that if Jesus came back today, you wouldn't be ready. You know you're lost and that you're undone and that you're far away from God. Hey, I've been there. Many of us have been there. All of us have been there. All of us fallen short of the glory of God. If you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, I'm going to count to three. When I count to three, I want you to lift your hands and put it up in the air and put it right back down. One, two, three. Put the hand up. I see the hand. Any other hands? Any other hands? I see that hand back there. Any other hands? Any other hands? I don't know Christ as my Savior. Anyone else? I see that hand. Now, if you lifted your hands, I'm not going to embarrass you, but I am going to give you a moment to be brave. I am going to give you a moment to stand up for something. Because if you don't stand up for something, you're going to fall for anything. There has to be a moment in your life where you say, today's the day that I'm going to make a difference, that I'm going to continue to live my life the way I've always lived it. Something's got to change. And what a great day to change at the inauguration of Christmas at Covenant Community Church. If you lifted your hands and you don't know Christ as your Savior, I'm going to ask that you come and stand right here, and I'll stand with you. I don't want you to be afraid. I want you to come when I count to three. And if you lifted your hand and say, I'm not right with Jesus, that's okay. Listen, everybody in here wants you to come. If you want to accept Christ as your Savior today, come and stand right here on the count of three. One, two, three. Would you come if you lifted your hands? Lifted your hands and said, I don't know Christ as my Savior. Well, let's pray. Everybody pray this prayer with me. Say, dear Jesus, forgive me of all my sins. Come into my heart today. In Jesus' name, amen. Every lady, will you lift your hands? I bless you with the blessings of Rachel, Rebecca, and Leah. Every man, will you lift your hands? I bless you with the blessings of Ephraim and Manasseh. Well, let the congregation lift your hands. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord be gracious and let his face shine upon you. May he be gracious unto you. May the Lord look with favor upon you. And may he give you the peace of shalom. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. God bless you. Go out and share your...
We pray that you were blessed by this message. For more information about Covenant Community Church, please contact us at media@covenantcc.net or visit us online at covenantcc.net.